In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So we are in year C, the tail end of year C, and we're hearing from the Gospel of Luke. And you might listen to these words and of the Gospel and think, this is the Beatitudes. Some of you are thinking that, and they are. The Sermon on the Mount. But the Sermon on the Mount is in Matthew. This is a wee bit different, and it's in Luke, and it's the Sermon on the Plain. And one kid recently asked me about why the sermon was given on an airplane when Jesus lived before airplanes. The Sermon on the Plain ground, the even ground. And so what is the difference? What difference does it make if Jesus is speaking up on a high mountain or down on flat, plain ground? Well, you think a bit about the goal of each of the gospel writers. And the goal of Matthew was to convince and affirm to Jews that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is Lord. And so it was important for him to have Jesus to go up to the mountain. That reminded them of somebody great in their faith. Yes? Moses. And it is in Matthew also that the Holy Family flees to Egypt for a while. That doesn't happen in Luke. And that would make Jews reading this gospel think, just like Moses and the people of Moses' time. And with Luke was speaking mainly to Gentiles, to non-Jews. And so it wasn't so important, and in fact, it probably was important for Jesus to speak on the plain ground, even with everybody, because Luke was the gospel writer who championed the cause of the regular guy, the little guy, the women who were oppressed, the children who were oppressed. And so it was probably important for Luke to have Jesus speak with the Beatitudes. Did Jesus give two speeches? Jesus gave many speeches. So this could be a combination of one, or it could be two separate speeches. But he spoke to his people, and he spoke about, blessed are you when you're poor? Really? Happy are you? Satisfied are you? You are satisfied with your life because God is blessing you and will continue to bless you, and there will be rewards on earth even as in heaven. That is the goal of having the kingdom of God come to earth. So I wrote about the Triduum, the All Saints Triduum, in my e-blast this week, and I was talking to Tom yesterday, and he says, yeah, somebody wrote, I just read about that. I actually have to give credit for that to George Woodward, a priest at St. Edmund's in San Gabriel, California, a friend of mine. I'm not sure that this is really known as a Triduum, but All Hallows Eve, Halloween evening, when the dead come to visit, we remember. It's both an Irish custom and holiday, and then also combined with a Christian holiday celebration. And we remember the thin spaces between the living and the dead. And the dead come to visit. You light a candle. It was tradition to light a candle in the window to invite the spirits, the good spirits you knew, and to keep away the bad spirits. And we go trick-or-treating, and that's part of that All Hallows Eve. In the Roman Catholic Church and in the Anglo-Catholic Church of our tradition, All Saints Day, a lot of times the focus is on those that the church has recognized as saints. The apostles are saints, then Saint Jerome and through the centuries. And, you know, we'll always know Mother Teresa as Mother Teresa, but she is now Saint Teresa as well. But if you listen to the lesson, the letter from Paul. He was saying, thank you for praying for all of the saints. He wasn't saying just thank you for praying for all the leaders of the church. Thank you for praying for the apostles who will go down in history as saints. He was saying thank you for praying for all of your fellow Christians. And every time he wrote a letter to anyone, he said to all the saints at the church in Corinth, to all the saints at the church in Philippi, because we are saints. And you probably have heard that before. Saint Beth, Saint Lynn, Saint Tom, St. Thomas, St. Hugh, St. Emily, St. Rick, you're all saints. We are all saints. We all believe, we all are blessed by God, and we all join with what the Congregational Church used to call the invisible saints. Those who were living that we see no longer, that we remember. We remembered many at the first service. We'll remember more at the second service as well. The quick and the dead, you might remember that from older prayer books. The living and the dead. But those who have died and gone on to greater glory. And then there's November 2nd. On our calendar, it says commemoration of all faithful departed in the Anglican Church, also known as All Souls Day. In New England, when I was at seminary, I went to the seminary known as the hotbed of Unitarianism, Harvard Divinity School, and there were many Unitarians and many Unitarian churches there. They celebrated All Souls Day as a bigger day than All Saints. They really sort of tended to neglect or not focus on All Saints. But they focused on all souls because we're all souls. We're all just regular, average people. But we're not. We're created in God's image. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we are all saints. And all of us saints are called to rise up, not as skeletons in a graveyard or trick-or-treating, not as people who are loath to call ourselves saints, but as those pressing forward in a journey together, as saints, believers, sanctified, holy, whole. We are still on our journey, on our pilgrim journey, but we can give thanks to God that through Christ's love, we are whole people, blessed, happy, contented, joyful, regardless of our situation in life, joyful with the Spirit of God living inside of us, residing among us, with the assurance that God walks with us in all circumstances, good or bad, through our whole journey. God is in control. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And part of our joy is that none of it is ours to worry about. And it's hard to think about that right a few days before Election Day, that it's not in our hands, really. We exercise our rights as citizens. We rejoice. We are sad. But everything is in God's hands. Lynn wrote me, forwarded to me a devotion this last week, and it was just a wonderful devotion to remind us what is going to happen on November 9th. Do we have a new ruler? No, because Christ is the ruler of our lives. Christ is king of our life. And that is one reason, too, that in 2 weeks we will celebrate Christ the King Sunday, along with the Feast of the Holy Sovereigns. Because we know, and that Christ the King Sunday was a relatively late feast, started in Europe. And it was to remind people that regardless of who came to rule in your realm, that Christ was king in your heart among fellow Christians. Christ is king, even on November 9th. This gospel that is read on All Saints Day, the Beatitudes, that teach us not to cling too tightly to anything in this earthly life and try to organize anything too much to exactly our liking. Let's not cling to our possessions with clenched fists. Let's not be so controlling. Notice I'm saying us, not you. us. Me too. Always trying to make this world conform to your plan. If in life we've learned how to surrender our egos and give ourselves away, if we've lived in such a way that we don't cling too tenaciously to or to try to control those things we think of as ours or under our control, and remember that all that we have comes from God, then we can really live life with the joy that sets us free, and we are truly blessed. Rejoice and leap for joy. God is in control, and that is a good thing. Amen.